Good morning and welcome. This is Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. You know, life is a tough road sometimes, and you find yourself in circumstances. You don't know how you got there, but at some point you decide, you know what? I want to help other people, you know, not to have to go through this. What can I do to change this for other people? And we have done that story here under many different circumstances, and most of them really tragic, but you know, trying to find that silver lining in all of this. And today is another one of those programs. And what's interesting about today is that it's not something, you know, traditional in that, you know, we've done shows where it's been heroin overdoses and drug overdoses and alcohol and killed by a drunk driver, you know, those kinds of things. Compelling stories, but this one also compelling because very innocent kind of circumstances. And we're very happy to have Julie Walker here to talk about. She's with the Peyton Walker Foundation. I don't know if you've heard about it or have you heard about Peyton's Law. We're going to learn about all of these things today and how you can protect your family from, you know, some of the things that, Julie ended up becoming educated about in a sort of an unfortunate way. So, Julie, I've kind of pussyfooted around exactly the point of all this, but I did that because I want you to be able to, you know, talk about it in your own words and tell us your story and tell us about Peyton Walker.
So, well, thank you so much, Mark, for inviting us to share our story and to really help raise awareness of this issue. November 2nd, 2013, for those who aren't familiar with our story, my husband and I had just sat down to have breakfast. It was a beautiful fall morning, Saturday morning. You know, it was just, you know, the golden leaves on the tree, and the sky was that beautiful autumn blue. And our phone rang, interrupting our breakfast, and I said, you know, to my husband, I said, you know, you better grab that. That's we don't usually get a phone call on his cell on Saturday morning. So he answered it, and it was the president of King's College, where Peyton was a sophomore. And the president was calling to tell us that our daughter had just been taken by ambulance to the hospital. And of course, we were stunned. We had no idea what was going on. So we started preparing to get ready to go to the hospital. It's about a two-hour drive for us. It's up in the Wilkes-Barre area. So as we're getting ready, the phone rang again, and it was the emergency department from Wilkes-Barre Hospital calling to tell us that our daughter had just been brought in full cardiac arrest, and we needed to please get there as quickly and safely as possible. And even still telling the story, I get goosebumps. We had no idea what that meant, Mark. What do you mean cardiac arrest? Mm-hmm. Kids who are 19 years old don't have cardiac arrest. You know, what does this even mean? We knew nothing about it. My husband did have the wherewithal to say, is she breathing on her own? And the nurse said, no, she's not. So it was absolutely, you know, devastating. And we tried to get ready, get in the car, and in the worst, longest, most painful,
oh my goodness, I can't imagine. Two hours driving. Oh my
god. 2 hours. And you are just kind of in an autopilot, suspended in time and space. Just you want to get there, but you don't want to get there. So we pulled into the parking lot, and I saw two priests standing in the waiting area, and I knew.
Yeah.
So it's you're sitting in the car, you have to make that decision, you know, do I go face this, or you really want to go the other direction. But I opened the car door, went in, and we were given the news that we had lost Peyton. We didn't get to say goodbye, and you know, wow, talk about your life changing on a dime. It certainly did. We spent the day at the hospital, and when we got home, well, the nurses had given us a bag of clothes that Peyton had been wearing that day, that morning. Got home, and I couldn't open that bag of clothes for 5 weeks, and brought up the courage to open it, and I pulled out the shirt she was wearing that day, and every hair on my body stood on end. She was wearing a long sleeve red T-shirt, and there was white lettering on the shirt, and what it said, what we do for ourselves dies with us.
Wow.
What we do for others and the world remains and is immortal. And that stopped me dead in my tracks, like, wow, Peyton, if that
speaking to you,
Who are you kidding me? Who wears this shirt? And you know, on the day they leave this earth. So we knew, you know, this was a mission. Peyton wanted to work in healthcare. She was studying to be a physician assistant. So, and my husband said, you know, what can we do to save other families from this incredible, incredible heartache? So we started researching sudden cardiac arrest, started learning about it, understanding it, and launched the Peyton Walker Foundation. And our mission truly is to increase awareness and survival rates of sudden cardiac arrest. It's pretty basic. We have been working nonstop, relentlessly for 7 years to help save other families. And I'm happy and proud to say that we've been incredibly successful to date.
Yes, especially with Peyton's Law. I mean, it's not everybody who has a law named after them or after your efforts. And because of that, there's special equipment, and the PIAA has gotten involved. But let's backtrack a little bit and talk about sudden cardiac arrest. Because is its nature, I mean, it's not like, cancer or kidney problems where, you know, there are indicators, you know, along the way. Mm-hmm. Are there indicators for sudden cardiac arrest?
Well, what we have found most of the time in kids, sudden cardiac arrest is the first sign or symptom. And so it's sudden death like that.
Wow.
Most of the times these kids and their families have no idea that the kids have heart issues.
So there's no warning.
Very few times. But we do, I mean, there's some symptoms that, you know, the kids may be experiencing that could be an indicator of an underlying heart issue. And when we talk about that and we tell parents, you know, have conversations with your kiddos, ask them, are they, you know, and first I want to say, too, sudden cardiac arrest does not discriminate between athletes and non-athletes. So it happens equally across the board. But talk to your kids and ask them, you know, are they feeling any pain or pressure in their chest? Are they feeling any palpitations or fluttering? Lightheadedness is a big one, and definitely passing out. So if your kids are passing out, you know, before or after sports or just for no reason, you know, if they stand up too fast and they pass out, definitely have a conversation with your pediatrician. Ask for an electrocardiogram because all of these things could be indicators that there might be something going on with your child's heart. And we'll talk about that as we go through this conversation today, but we'll talk about the importance of an electrocardiogram and what that can help. But most of the time, unfortunately, there are no preceding signs or symptoms, and it is just sudden death. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, there was something wrong.
Can we chat a little bit, too, about that? Because you made that delineation between student athletes and, kids who aren't athletes. It's the number one killer of student athletes?
It is. It is, sadly. So, yeah, sudden the statistics, when you really start peeling it back and looking at this more closely, we've found out sudden cardiac arrest is the number one killer of student athletes in our country, and that should stop everyone in their tracks. It's the leading cause of death on school campuses. And there's not a lot of good data to really tally the numbers, and we feel like it is incredibly underreported across the country. So we estimate that at least one kid every hour, every day, is dying from sudden cardiac arrest, and it's just not getting the media attention because we're so lacking in data, unfortunately.
You are listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. And Julie Walker is a parent first, a wife and a mom, and heading up the Peyton Walker Foundation, which encourages coaches, parents, and students to be aware of sudden cardiac arrest signs and symptoms and to get the athletes, prepared. But this is also for non-athletes as well. And I guess part of the problem is that there is no kind of warning. You mentioned an EKG, which is a very simple thing to do. It doesn't take but a few seconds once you get hooked up to take it. Is that really the primary weapon, so to speak, against sudden cardiac arrest?
It truly is. And if you step back a minute and look, you know, the sports physicals that we're giving our children today are the same sports physicals that we as parents got 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. In spite of all of the advances in healthcare, we're giving our children an antiquated physical. Like, why? We have so many tools and resources and great tests, but we're not using them. So a simple electrocardiogram, it is a quick, painless test. You put 10 to 12 stickers on the child, hook them up to an electrocardiogram. It takes longer to put the stickers on.
Yes.
It does actually do the test if you
yes,
had one,
it
you know.
Does. Yes.
Quick and painless, and it can detect 2/3 or higher of hidden heart issues that can, you know, lead to sudden cardiac arrest. And we say, you know, when kids go for their physicals, we only listen to their heart with a stethoscope, and that misses, you know, 75 to 85% of hidden heart issues that can lead to sudden cardiac arrest. That's only, a stethoscope is only listening for plumbing problems. If we talk about how sudden cardiac arrest is an electrical problem, well, a stethoscope cannot hear an electrical problem.
Interesting.
So we need the electrical test to uncover the electrical problem. So once we get that electrocardiogram done, that is very telling about what is going on inside that child's heart. And we have, one of the things we work tirelessly to do is provide free heart screenings for kids all across central PA. And unfortunately, we've been kind of on the pause button. So we will provide these heart screenings free of charge to kids to try to find these hidden heart issues. And of the thousands of kids we screened, we have found so many kids with issues that are now being followed and treated by cardiologists throughout central PA.
How did you become an executive director? You know, here you are, you're in this place. Did you feel the shirt was a message from Peyton in a way, and, you know, trying to help others not have to go through what you went through?
Well, yes. I mean, I have arrived in this position not by choice, but by default. So, you know,
you created an organization, too. I mean,
right.
That's not a small thing.
Right. And I feel, you know, honestly, I'm kind of a spiritual person in the belief that I truly believe, and my husband also, this was Peyton's life plan. And, you know, this was her destiny. This was, I believe that everybody's here temporarily, you know, nothing is permanent. And I believe wholeheartedly this was Peyton's life plan, that she was going to be here for a short time, but she was going to have an incredible impact. So we have taken that energy, and, you know, we want to make a difference. And I feel like I have the tools and resources to do so by nature and by training. I'm actually a meeting and event professional, so what I do is manage logistics. So I kind of take all of my skills, apply it to the foundation, and, you know, get things done. We've learned a lot along the way. Like you said, I was not an expert on sudden cardiac arrest, you know, on November 1st, 2013, but shortly thereafter, I soon became one, not because I wanted to, for sure.
Right, right. So you arrive and you get all this information from real life experience, and, you know, were they able to tell you anything, you know, after the fact, explain what happened or how it happened?
Well, yeah, so we have a really different angle than a lot of families. I was diagnosed with a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy back in my late 20s, and when they found it in me, then they started checking my children. We found it started to develop in Peyton when she was in fifth grade. So we actually knew she had a heart issue, and she was under the care of cardiology locally. We also took her up to Boston Children's Hospital, so she was followed there as well. She was on medication. She was not allowed to participate in competitive sports. So we thought we were doing all of the right things. But even with all of that, I didn't really fully understand that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy could lead to sudden cardiac arrest. And, you know, I didn't really grasp everything. I didn't understand it fully.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly do now. And so, you know, we thought we were doing everything correctly, but we knew everything. And so we step back and say, wow, we knew and this still happened to us.
Right.
What about the parents who have no idea about their kids having these heart issues? And sadly, you know, since along this journey, I have met so many parents, even local parents, who have lost their kids to the same heart issue that Peyton had. Because they never knew their child had it. And most of them, a simple electrocardiogram may have helped to save their kid.
You're listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. My name is Mark McKenzie, and we're talking with Julie Walker, the executive director and mother of Peyton Walker and the Peyton Walker Foundation. And You know, the sudden cardiac arrest that took her life is a driving force to make sure that other kids and other families don't have to experience that. Now, one of the things, you know, the EKG is one piece of equipment that helps identify those who could be in danger. The other thing, and I know this from a guy that I worked with for about 20 years, one of my former bosses was a very good health, played tennis competitively, and I want to say he was probably, I'm going to say 60 years old. He was playing tennis one day near F&M and had sudden cardiac arrest. The person he was playing with said he just dropped, and they called 911 immediately, and they apparently, as a matter of fact, he was so lucky for him, an ambulance was right around the corner.
Wow.
They got there in like 2 minutes, and they were able to use an AED to shock him back. So I guess the key with the sudden cardiac arrest is that delicate time between no oxygen and being able to be revived at all, right?
Correct. And that's from the moment a sudden cardiac arrest occurs, every minute that passes until you get a defibrillator on them, the chance of survival decreases by 10%. So the survival rates of sudden cardiac arrest are dismally, dismally low. It's about 6 to 10% right now. So, and what happens, an AED will shock the heart, stop it, and then hopefully it will restart itself in a normal rhythm. And without an AED, the chance of survival is almost zero. So we say call, push, shock. You've got to call 911, push hard and fast on the chest, you know, start those compressions, the CPR, and then get that defibrillator on them. And we, unfortunately, there's an incredible shortage of AEDs, and they're not accessible in our communities where these cardiac arrests are taken care of. And I'll say your friend was lucky. He hit the lottery.
Yes,
you know, for
he did.
Multitude of reasons. You know, so many cardiac arrests happen in the home where there's no access to AEDs. Peyton was in her apartment. It was unwitnessed when she had her cardiac arrest. Wow. So even if there had been an AED available, there was nobody there with her. So everything kind of has to come together perfectly to have a save. But we have donated over 200 AEDs all throughout the mid-state. To date, we've got 2 recorded saves with our AEDs, so we know we've saved at least 2 people so far. And we have some great programs we're going to be announcing over the next few months and some initiatives that we're going to be involved in getting more AEDs in the community. And we donate them to nonprofits, youth athletic leagues, and people can jump out to PeytonWalker.org to see how to apply to get an AED for their organization.
I know the church that I attend, we did several years ago, I guess it was the fire department was talking about different things that we could do. And they mentioned, you know, smoke alarms and AED. So we ended up getting one. I think we have 2, one upstairs and one downstairs. So it's a good thing to have. You hope you never need it, but, you know, if you need it, it's got to be there. You know, if you're waiting for an ambulance to show up, it's just not really going to help out.
But, right. You can't wait. You can't wait and hope, because the ambulances typically take 11 to 15 minutes to get there. So by that point, there's like negative 0% chance for survival.
So Julie, how did you come about approaching this Peyton's Law? How did that come about?
Well, our friends in Texas, you know, we've gotten to know so many families who've experienced similar tragedies to that we have. So our friends in Texas, the Cody Stevens Foundation, they had worked for over 6 years to get similar legislation passed, and they finally were successful in 2013. It was signed into law by their governor on Father's Day 2019. And I said, you know what? I think we can do this in Pennsylvania. Let's give it a shot. And you know, our state is not really known as being progressive when it comes to legislation.
Right, that's true.
To say the least. So we reached out to Senator Regan's office and said, look, here's what Texas just did. What do you think? And he's like, you know what? Let's do it. And he was very invested, because Senator Regan had actually brought his sons through our heart screening program. So he was incredibly impressed by what we were doing, and he stood back and said, "But wait, why isn't this the standard of care? Why are you providing heart screenings, and why isn't the medical community doing this? And what do we need to change it?" So he was very receptive, you know, bought in from the get-go, and we just had a great partner in Senator Regan's office as well. So we worked, got this legislation introduced after, you know, seeing it, like I said, took Texas 3 iterations and 6 years to get this law passed. So we were incredibly blessed. We, in less than a year, got this legislation pushed through, and during COVID, nonetheless, and during the most political contentious time in our country, we got full bipartisan support on this bill.
Yeah, let's underline that. Unanimous.
Yes. Unanimous. It was, I think it went through 3 or 4 different votes, and there was never one vote in opposition. It just makes sense. And we're so, so proud to be the second state in the country. And I'll tell you what, Pennsylvania, we should all be really proud that this, we are the second state in the country to pass this. So we're definitely out in front of this, when we're never in front of anything legislatively. So the legislation, what it does is now, again, it's working with PIAA for the most part. So all PIAA athletes have to go through pre-participation physicals. They've got to sign all this paperwork. So it raises awareness. Parents now read about sudden cardiac arrest in this paperwork that they get from the PIAA. And it includes information about why you should ask for an electrocardiogram for your student and how that electrocardiogram can help to find issues that lead to cardiac arrest. So it's a first step. It doesn't mandate electrocardiograms. We feel like that's another discussion, but at least we got this first step right in place that we can now continue to educate parents about this potentially life-saving test.
Yeah, because now it lets them know, you know, it's not a big deal test. I mean, it takes literally, you know, a couple of minutes, and it's painless. So why wouldn't you want that? You would just assume it would be a very easy preventative thing to do. Now, in the time we have remaining, obviously you think there are more things to do. And the Peyton Walker Foundation you have these free EKG tests, and you're trying to donate. You've donated 200 AEDs. What's the future look like for you?
Well, there's still a lot of work to be done, and I think one of the big discussions is how do we make electrocardiograms the standard of care for our kids? How do, you know, mammograms are the standard? You know, we're checking for prostate issues. Why aren't we checking kids' hearts? Like, why are we're so focused on making sure.
What do you think that is? Senator Regan talked about, why isn't this the standard of care? Why isn't it? Why do you think?
Well, data is a big piece that's missing. So we're just joined with the Cardiac Safety Research Consortium run through Duke University, and we're part of, I think there's 13 foundations from across the country that are now contributing data from our heart screenings, making it available to researchers. So that's going to be incredibly huge in helping to push this initiative forward. So we're supplying data for that. I think having the discussions with the insurance providers and with the healthcare systems. You know, we've got support from all of our healthcare systems here in Central PA. They've all supported our heart screening program. So can we work with them to make this the standard of care? Will they add this to their well-child visits? Will they add this to their sports physicals? It's a conversation I intend to push hard on behalf of every parent, every grandparent, brother, sister, everybody. I'm going to work for everyone to try to make this a conversation that people, they need to have this. They need to talk about it. And the insurance companies, there's going to be a lot of pushback. It's okay. I have broad shoulders. I'm fine. I'm ready for the fight.
I can hear it in your, yeah. I hear the passion in your voice.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this though, Julie, how can people who are listening get involved?
Absolutely. Well, there's so many things people can do. Number one, a simple one, learn CPR. You don't have to get certified, but just know how to do CPR. Go to YouTube and watch a video. So if you ever see somebody collapse, you know how to do CPR. Make sure there's AEDs where kids play and practice sports. Are there AEDs available in your neighborhoods? Reach out. We've got a discount AED order form. We've got the donation program, so we can help you with that as well. So learn CPR. Make sure there's AEDs available. And if you want to even help us even more, we go out and we do these heart screenings. It takes 60 to 80 non-medical volunteers to host these heart screenings. So you know, our medical partners like UPMC, they come and they provide the medical people, but we need a lot of hands to help make these clinics successful. So there's great ways you can volunteer with that. And, you know, we ask businesses, okay, you want to support us? I don't want you to write a check and walk away, pat yourself on the back, like, look what I just did. No, I want you to buy into my mission, and I want you to make changes in your workplace so that, you know, are your employees trained in CPR? Do you have an AED at your workplace? Do you give your employees time off to go volunteer and help organizations like ours? So we ask for partnerships. We don't just want donations. We want people out there, if you know, implementing changes and supporting our overall mission and moving that forward.
Julie, we've talked about so many things, but we don't have a lot of time left. But I do want to give you the final word. We talked about so much. Is there anything that we haven't talked about which you think is really important for the listeners to know?
Well, I think just, again, becoming familiar with sudden cardiac arrest. When you see the news stories, there was a soccer incident this summer in an international setting where a soccer player dropped over on the field, sudden cardiac arrest. Understand it a little bit. Just get a little bit educated. And if you have kids that are playing sports or have teenagers, have the conversations with them about the signs and symptoms. Ask them if they're feeling anything. A lot of times kids dismiss the symptoms. They think it's normal because they've always felt that way when they run or whatever. So just education is so important. You know, if you don't have kids, you have grandkids now, whatever, just have the conversations and hope that you can affect change and help save a young life. And feel free to jump out to PeytonWalker.org to learn more information, register kids for upcoming heart screenings. We also offer CPR certification classes very affordably. So if you're interested in that, we can help you out in that regard as well. But knowledge is power, and that's really what we need to help save young lives moving forward.
Julie Walker is the executive director of the Peyton Walker Foundation, but always also Peyton's mom, and she's got a mission here to save other kids from sudden cardiac arrest. Thank you so much for telling your story and letting us hear your passion and passing along some really helpful tips and how to take action as well.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you giving us the platform to share our message.
That is going to be Community Focus for this weekend. I'm Mark McKenzie.